broadcasting from Northern California for two decades. It's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
All right, welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
That's right. Good to be here in the studio on this August Saturday.
Yes.
Been kind of a middle of... I think summer's kind of ending, starting to wind down for folks.
Don't you have kids going back to school this week?
Yeah, kids coming back, going back. This is a financial program. We do talk about our personal lives, but both myself and my co-host here,
I can't decide which is more boring, our personal lives or financial talk. Which one?
So, for the boring hour, you'll be with us at Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
I learned that in radio school, the tease.
Radio school? I missed the first day. That was the problem. When you miss the first day.
You can never catch up, radio school.
No, you can't. It's so complicated. I mean, what is this thing in front of me? Yeah. Anyway, we are both financial advisors. We spend our weekdays with people like yourself, helping them plan their financial future. We come here on the weekends to be your financial advisor on the air. And it's the weekend of August 8th. And if you'd like to join us, if you've got a question for us, this program, we talk about all kinds of things financial. We've got some great topics lined up. And, of course, we take some of your questions and decipher what some of the noise out there, what's important, what's not important, what you should pay attention to, what you shouldn't pay attention to. And, of course, we take your calls. And if you would like to join us, you've got a question regarding your retirement, maybe something in an investment you've got, or maybe perhaps someone's trying to sell you something, you're wondering if you should do it, if it sounds good, or you don't know. Whatever the case is, our contact number here is 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON, 1-888-2-HANSON, and love your take your call.
Also, get you on the air?
We will, if it's a good question, we'll get you on the air. No, if...
yeah, we normally put them on the air.
Well, we do a little screening, of course.
Well, yeah, I mean, everyone does, don't they?
I think most programs do.
So, 888-2-HANSON, H-A-N-S-O-N.
That's right, and...
So I ran into two clients yesterday, clients of the firm. Excuse me. I was at a doctor's office.
With thousands of them, you'd think you'd run into all the time, Pat.
Yes. So yeah, they didn't work directly with me, so I didn't. So they introduced themselves. And
where were you?
I was.
Well, you weren't dressed like that, were you?
No, I had a three-piece suit on,
okay,
Scott.
Okay, good. The nice vest, buttoned, the full thing.
I was at a doctor's appointment. I had a tuxedo on.
Okay. Just want to make sure you look presentable in public.
Anyway,
what is those dolphin shorts you've got on?
Are you kidding?
I'm kidding.
These are Costco's.
Yeah, those from the 80s?
Costco's finest, my friend.
Yeah, okay.
Costco's finest. Anyway, so I did get a question from one of them. Said, can you... answer this question about this.
This is in the waiting room of the doctors?
This one was at a restaurant. I ran into two of them. One was I went to the orthopedic surgeon. I get a little shot in my left knee, which is,
here we go. Starting to sound like an old man.
I am. But so
is this a long life story?
This one actually has the benefit of coming with an end to the story.
That's good.
So anyway, I will talk about the question a little bit, which is an ad that is running on a consistent basis throughout Northern California. It's a radio ad. And she said, what is this product and why didn't it make it sound so great? Should we do it now? Do you want to do it now?
No, Pat. I think we should just bring up topics and not discuss them.
So yeah. It was.
And if you'd like to know where the market's going to go.
So she asked the question. She said, I keep hearing this ad. It talks about how you put money away. You pull it out tax-free. It goes to your heirs without taxes. It's better than an IRA or a 401k. It's been around for 100 years.
I've heard those ads too. I know exactly what they're talking about when they talk about don't invest in an IRA or 401k. It's great.
Correct. So she said, I keep hearing this ad. What's so great about this thing? And I said, well...
commissions for the life insurance agent.
That was number one. One is you get to start a relationship with a financial services company that is actually longer than most marriages, 15 years. It's life insurance. That's what it is. It's life insurance. You put the money in, grows tax deferred. It comes out tax-free as long as you withdraw your principal and then you borrow against it.
So those ads, I heard those ads. And it says, basically, it's the mistake you're making. Tax rates are going up. Why would you want to invest in a 401k? We've got this great solution here. And the premise is, that you you buy this life insurance, this expensive life insurance policy. You put a bunch of money in. Current tax law with life insurance allows someone to take a loan on the policy without being a taxable event. And as long as the policy is enforced when they die, then all the gains forgiven.
Correct.
Current. But that also.
But Scott,
that is also assumes that first of all, the one great assumption is that future tax law won't change for the life insurance industry.
Fair enough. Yes, I agree with that.
I mean, the whole premise is 401ks are bad because the tax things. Life insurance is good because of tax law.
But the reality is I've been in this industry for a long time. At one point in time, when I first started, I worked for a investment company whose emphasis was life insurance, although I was never really good at the life insurance part of it. I understand it. The problem with the whole premise behind it is that the life insurance policy is going to be enforced the day you die, and that the cost of insurance is irrelevant. I'd rather pay taxes than the cost of insurance. And that's what the whole problem with these are. And I've never seen it done right. Have you, Scott?
Well, the challenge with some of these insurance policies, these life insurance, here's how, by the way, we talk about these things. Here's the reason we're bringing, the reason why Pat brought this up. Well, your client, because it's out there.
A client of our firm said, why are you not using these? Do these make sense?
We are in a time where we've had interest rates so low, our earnings on our savings so low, we've got bonds, the interest rates on those, anemic. Stock market has certainly not returned much this year at
nothing.
All, right? And it's a little up. And people are like, I
got to do something.
Other solutions. And so one of these things is these life insurance policies. And the idea, there are some tax benefits to a whole life is in the fact that the earnings grow tax deferred. And when you die, the death benefit, as long as it's owned for insurance purposes, is going to be tax-free. There are times when it's taxable, by the way. But if you own a life insurance policy on somebody else, you don't have an insured interest, it would be taxable too. Otherwise, it's tax-free. And so the whole premise behind this is, put your money in these things. It's going to grow tax-deferred. And then when you need money, instead of withdrawing the money, why don't you just take a loan on the policy? And as long as you have a loan, loans aren't taxable. Just like if you take a home equity loan on your house, not taxable. If you take a margin loan on a stock, it's not taxable.
But there's a cost of insurance there.
Well, of course there is.
It's expensive.
Of course, it's an insurance policy. It's insurance, and it's not the type of insurance that's going to insure you for your lifestyle or insure your investment, your retirement income.
And the idea that you're going to take these loans out and keep this thing in till the day you die. Have you ever seen it done correctly?
Here's what I have seen. I've seen phantom income.
Oh, yes.
I've seen where people have taken loans on these policies and the policies are now starting to collapse, and they either have to pump in a bunch of money to keep them in float, or they let them lapse, and they let them lapse not understanding what the tax ramifications are going to be, and they come to see us afterwards with this big tax problem, thinking, what do I do now?
So for the sake of our listeners, let's just say don't buy these and move on this life insurance discussion, because it's boring me.
You don't like talking about life insurance?
No. In fact, the only reason I brought it up was that I ran into this client of our firm yesterday, and she asked about it. She said, hey, I recognize you from the radio. And I said, from the radio? I mean, from our website.
I recognize you from the radio.
Yes.
Our website.
Moneymatters.com.
Yeah, we got our firm, HansonMcLean.com. Our Moneymatters.com just relaunched this last week. It's got so much edge. It's got lots of different radio clips. If you can go on there and say, I wonder what these guys think about 529 plans or college savings. You could type that in. It'll give you articles that we've written about that. It'll give you clips from our radio show about that.
It will give you clips from third parties in which we put up there that are little infographics that explain how college savings work, how 529 work. Almost any financial topic you can think of.
Yeah,
and it's moneymatters.com. I spent about an hour and a half on it last night.
That sounds like an exciting way to spend your Saturday evening.
That's how I
Friday
roll.
Friday evening. Was it Friday?
That's how I roll.
Huh?
Pretty That's exciting. How I roll.
I went to the airport, picked up my son. He'd been gone all summer. My 17-year-old back east.
All summer? Was summer, that good?
He
Did
was
you
taking
miss
a
him?
Summer class. No. No.
Fortunately, he doesn't listen to the show.
Of course, he's still sleeping. He's a teenager. I'm
no
just kidding.
No kidding, huh?
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, well. This too shall pass. We're going to take a break. If you'd like to be part of the program, we've got two lines open. 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. You're listening to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
To be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-242-6766.
You hear Scott Hanson and Pat McClain each weekend as they host Hanson McClain's Money Matters. And if you're not yet a client of Hanson McClain Advisors, you really ought to give them a shot. You see, the same type of straightforward financial advice that is provided during the show is what the clients of Hanson McClain Advisors receive on a regular basis. The approach of Hanson McClain Advisors is to first listen to you and then help come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Goals that range from retirement planning to debt elimination to income solutions. Hanson McClain Advisors is not simply a store that sells one type of product. No, Hanson McClain Advisors is an independent advisory firm that pick from a wide variety of financial products. They use investment tools from well-known brand names, in addition to financial products from lesser-known boutique shops, all with the objective to help you meet your financial goals. So if you have yet to see how the commission-free programs of Hanson McClain Advisors can benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit them at moneymatters.com.
Want more advice on financial matters? Check out moneymatters.com, where you'll find information ranging from retirement to taxes to insurance to investments, all on moneymatters.com. And now, back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Oh. Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Thanks
what's
for,
this?
Huh?
This is, that's good music. That is good.
If people want to listen to music, they listen to a music station. They listen to talk. They want to hear about financial talk. Much.
Well, you know, what's funny is because the producer of our show is, what is he, 25, 26, right?
Yeah, somewhere in there, 28. You don't look a day beyond 27, young 20, man.
So,
he should be carded.
So anyway, we said, hey, put some music on that, like, people our age. Do you remember this discussion? I'm 52. What are you, 50, 49, something like that?
I'm 48.
So you're 48. So we said to him, put some music on that like our generation listens to. And he just
fish.
Stared at us. I don't know what you're talking
yeah,
about.
So we had a bunch of, who's the pop gal that's everywhere? The pop singer.
Beyonce?
No, 1989 album. She's everywhere. Every station plays her song. Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So
you can't get away from Taylor Swift. Everywhere. Taylor Swift, Taylor Swift. So he had Taylor Swift on there. He had, who else was popular?
I can't name the popular bands.
But that was some good old school music right there.
And they're still putting out songs, I think.
Was it?
Yeah, we're going to go to the kids. All
right, let's just
While we're on this, no, this is a funny story. And Bob, we're going to take you.
We'll
and
be
we're
the
take
judge you. Of that.
I think it's funny.
Okay, let's hear it.
My wife and I, a year ago, were in, maybe a couple years ago, we're in Hawaii. And my wife's in this little boutique. I never can go into a mall with my wife because my blood pressure gets too high. But somehow when we're on vacation, she gets me into a little boutique and I can kind of handle a little bit. So
you're a good man.
We're in this little boutique. I'm trying to relax, and there's one other person in there, and it's the lead singer from Aerosmith.
How do you know?
I recognize the guy because he was on American Idol all the time, and he was trying on women's blouses. And I thought, well, I guess when you're a rock star making millions, you can get away with that. Women's blouses.
Oh, he's the guy.
He dresses like a woman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Funny looking guy.
Yeah.
Aerosmith guy. That was just Aerosmith.
Did talk to him?
No, I didn't talk to him.
You're brushed with greatness right there.
I started swinging and singing instead.
Sweet emotions.
Sweet emotions when I started crooning to him. No, nothing. Anyway, let's take some calls. 1-888.
Well, thank you for that.
I just thought it was kind of funny. I forget
women's
his name
bosses?
Right now for whatever. I can't remember anyone's name right now.
Yeah.
Who was his name? Okay. You know what I'm talking about.
It's okay for men to wear women's blouses now. This isn't 1965.
It's okay. We shouldn't pass any judgment. And who's to say it's a woman's or a men's blouse for that
matter? That's right.
It should be gender neutral blouses.
Absolutely.
No, all right. It's a little much to assign that.
882 Hanson, if you want to join the show. 8882 Hanson.
We're talking.
Or 916-921-1530.
We're talking with Bob in Sacramento. Bob, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, guys. Appreciate your show.
Thank you, sir.
Wonder if you'd.
Bob, real quick here. You should be on the radio. You've got quite the radio,
he does.
Quite the voice. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, as a matter of fact, I spent a few years in broadcasting when I was in college, but that was eons ago. So
got it.
I wonder if you'd say a few words about REITs, the pros, the cons, the advantages and disadvantages, what they are, and is this a good time to be investing in a vehicle like that?
Perfect.
Thank you for the question.
We're going to back up a little on this too. So a REIT is a real estate investment trust, and a REIT is a special type of corporation that has some unique tax advantages that other corporations do not have. And essentially, the tax advantage that has most companies deal with, they have to pay their own income taxes. And then when they pay a dividend to the shareholders have to include that taxable income. So it's double taxation. With REITs, as long as a real estate investment trust has the majority of their investments in real estate or real estate in type investments, and they pass through, I believe it's either 90 or 95% of their earnings to their shareholders, the income is not taxed to the company. It's only taxed to the shareholders. So it does not have the double taxation. So it's a great, from a corporate structure, when you look at C Corp, S Corp, LLC, REIT, REIT can be a very attractive structure for holding.
From a tax standpoint.
From a tax standpoint.
And remember, there's two types of REITs, too. There's traded REITs, which you can buy on a stock exchange, just like you could buy Apple or Amazon or Chevron stock. And there's non-traded, which are typically sold through brokers. And there's a huge difference between the two.
Yeah, and so a REIT, for example, Bob, if you said, well, I would like to own some apartment buildings. I certainly don't want to have the direct ownership myself, nor do I have the capital. You can go out and buy a REIT that might specialize in apartments or a REIT that specializes in a variety of different things, shopping malls or whatever. So you can go out and invest these, and you can go buy just on the stock exchange, or you can buy a mutual fund that invests in a variety of different things to have diversification.
Which we actually are not opposed to at all.
No, and we've used a lot over the years. And ETFs, which are indexes, essentially, of the REITs. And so they can be a great piece of one's portfolio. The concern we have and the danger with these is that what Pat mentioned, there's a type of REIT that are sold through brokers that are illiquid.
They're non-traded, which means you buy it,
you own it.
You don't know what it's worth. They're going to send you a statement where they guess what it's worth. But because it's not traded on an exchange, you have no idea what it's worth because there's no counterparty offering to buy it.
Not only that, if you can't really sell it, it's a limited partnership. You become a partner as a limited partner.
So there's two things wrong. One, you bought it. It's got high commissions, which comes right out of your pocket. So they typically sell for $10 a share. The cost of distribution is about a dollar of that. So even though it doesn't reflect its real price, the day you buy it, the value's already been reduced by about 10%. And they're not required to reflect the real price for, 18 months after they quit issuing it. It's funky.
You hear them pitched by brokers because they pay high commissions. They could pay commissions of 7%, 8%, even higher to a broker who sells these. So
REITs are not bad. Non-traded REITs are terrible.
We don't see the benefit of them.
Because the alternative is right there. The difference is you buy a non-traded REIT, here's the benefit. You get to deal with a broker that is cramming this garbage down your throat. Yeah. You buy a traded REIT, you don't have to.
Yeah. Does that help?
Yes, sir, it does.
And remember, when you're buying yield on these things, that yield is not guaranteed, right? So we see what they're now calling it is either liquid alts or alternatives, And the reason they're attractive right now is people are actually searching for yield.
Right.
That
right.
yield is not guaranteed, right? And it right. is subject to the market forces just like anything else.
Right, right, right.
All righty?
Right. A friend of mine did pretty well on them years and years ago, but I had no idea where they stood today. Appreciate your program.
All right. Appreciate
the thing about REITs, they can be good and they can be bad. Just like, I mean,
everything
a stock.
Else.
What do you think of stocks? Well, I mean, stocks is a way you can own a company. It's a way a company has ownership spread to the public, and there's an exchange you can buy and sell. There are good companies that you can own the stock of. There's bad companies that you can own
the stock
of. There's
bad companies that become good companies.
Well, you wouldn't want to invest in a company that you couldn't trade. Can you imagine? Oh, we've got two options for you, Pat. One is you can own the broad stock market index, S&P 500, through ETF.
And you know what it's worth
or
every
secondly,
minute of the day.
You can invest in a partnership where you can't get out for at least 5 or 6 years.
And you don't know the value of it.
And I hear them pitched that they're not correlated. Well, just because you don't know the price, just because you can't sell it, doesn't mean it's not correlated.
Yeah, it's like
saying, you mean to tell me that in 2008 and 9 in the financial crisis, real estate did not fall in value?
That's crazy.
That's why I hear these people talk. I hear brokers talk like this. It's disingenuous, and it's borderline. It's just false. It's being
Say
dishonest.
It. Say it.
I think it's dishonest.
Say it.
I just did. Dishonest.
All right.
There's one broker I know of. He filed bankruptcy in 08 and 09. Personal bankruptcy. And he's talking about you should use REITs because they're not correlated to protect you during the downtime. And I'm thinking, I mean, it's crazy to me. Anyway, I got
we're
a little
not
hot
a,
in this. You can tell
we're
not huge
a
fans
fan of REITs. If we didn't like you, I wouldn't recommend them.
Now that you know, it's kind of bizarre. There's
non-traded REITs. Traded REITs, they
trade.
Have a place.
Absolutely.
We use them.
Yes.
In a mutual fund.
Yeah.
Traded
ETF,
REITs.
Yeah. That makes some sense at times.
Yeah.
And at times they don't make sense. 1-888-2-HANSEN to be part of the program. We're talking with Mike. Mike, you're with Hanson McLean.
Yeah. I have an IRA. Can I name the company?
Sure.
Schwab.
All right.
Okay. I had, I wanted to make a trade for $419,000 and was all in one bond. And the bond was, a triple C.
You had $419,000 in a triple C bond?
Yeah, you understand where they wouldn't make the trade.
Yeah, I get that.
But do they have the right to do that?
They do.
Well, you know, I previously got a guy to make a trade for $401,000 on a C, and I made about $36,000 in about not very many months.
Yeah, so here is, there's a couple reasons they may have not wanted to make the trade. One is that it was not appropriate for your risk tolerance as
stated by
you.
Did you own this and wanted to sell it?
Say it again?
Did you own it and want to sell it? You wanted to buy it, correct?
I wanted to buy it.
Yeah.
So here's why. One is your stated risk tolerance. So when a brokerage firm opens an account, you have to actually say what type of an account is. Is it speculative? Is it growth? Is it growth in income? Is it balanced? Is it conservative? They actually ask you what it is. So you may have said, oh, it's growth in income. And then what you wanted to do was make a trade that is speculative. And it may have consisted of such a large portion of your net worth that they actually were afraid for you.
Well, so, or they're worried about their own thing. What if this doesn't work out and you file a claim against them or sue them? They're public. They're a private enterprise that can choose, just like the bank can say, we don't want your business. They can say, we don't want your business.
So what you could have done, right,
what I'm going to do is I'm switching to, and I'm not going to say their name, but they're going to make a trade for me.
Yeah, you're going to move it to E-Trade or someone like that, right?
No.
Or whatever. Okay.
I'm going to move it to Fidelity.
Okay. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. I get why they wouldn't make the trade. I don't know if I would have made the trade for you. What percentage of your net worth was this $400,000?
It was a lot.
So So that I wouldn't have made the trade for you.
My net worth, because I'm getting retirement from PERS. I mean, I don't even have anything to do with the IRA.
I mean, I think the bottom line is. Look, they're a private enterprise. They choose to do business. They looked at this. They said, this is just too much risk. We probably think it's too much risk for Mike. It can come back on us. That's how what happens in the industry. Things don't work out. And people blame the broker. Schwab was the broker in this circumstance.
We wouldn't have made the trade for him.
No, we wouldn't have made the trade either. I would have said,
Mike, you're a great guy.
Go find a different firm to work with. We're going to take a quick break here. 1-888-2-HANSEN if you'd like to join the program. We do have a couple lines open. Stick around for more Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
To be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, visit moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-242-6766.
Are you as confident as you should be when it comes to your finances? Do you feel that you're on track to accomplish your goals? If not, you owe it to yourself to take a look at Hanson McLean Advisors. Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, hosts of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, founded Hanson McLean Advisors over 20 years ago to help people make wise choices with their money. The approach taken by Hanson McLean Advisors is one of financial planning, meaning the advisors take the time with each client to help map out a strategy before they offer any solutions. Their fee-based investment accounts are designed to be transparent and liquid, so you never have to guess what's going on under the hood. And there are no commissions when products are changed or when rebalances take place. Plus, unlike many investment firms, there is a high level of communication keeping you informed and up to date. With offices in Northern California, come and see how Hanson McLean Advisors can be of benefit to you. Contact them at 1-888-2-HANSEN or moneymatters.com. That's moneymatters.com.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSEN. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean, thanks for joining us.
I know, we're having a good time. I'm having a good time.
But if you'd like to join the show and have fun as well, 916-921-1530. That's 916-921-1530. Or 888-2-HANSON. That's H-A-N-S-O-N. And we'll get you on the air.
I got to tell you, I was reading this morning. Actually, I both not only read this morning and then heard somewhere else this morning about emerging market stocks and why they're not a good investment at this point in time. And I'm not necessarily stating that emerging markets is a great investment right now. You should go buy it. But the point of it is this. Typically, the best time to buy investments are when they're out of favor. Nobody likes them. There's a gazillion reasons why they're horrible for the future. Oftentimes, that's when you get the best price to buy something.
Yeah.
When investments have done well, they've run up in value. You see lots of things written about how great they are, what a great place to be, et cetera, et cetera. That's when the prices have been run up. That's often the worst time to buy them. And,
well, intellectually, that makes sense. But that's not how most people react.
Well, nor do the financial journalists, nor do a lot of investment advisors.
Well, first of all, it's for an investment advisor to buy something out of favor is hard because oftentimes
the clients
will say, why are you buying that? It's done poorly.
Yeah, it's fine. I remember a couple years ago. I was talking to a client. They said they're a new client coming aboard that said, well, I'd like to see before I decide, I want to see the portfolio that you would recommend so I can double check it. And I said, here's the challenge you put when you ask somebody this. And so if you're talking to an advisor now, here's the challenge. You ask an advisor, look, I want to see the exact portfolio you're going to put together for me before I choose to invest in your firm. You're making that advisor make this choice. The advisor could say, well, if I put together the things that should be bought today, there might be some things in there that have had a poor track record.
Which is exactly why you should possibly want to own them.
Because they're cheap. They will buy them cheap. So the advisor says, well, if I put together a list of a portfolio for this particular client with things that I think are great buys right now. Man, this is phenomenal buys. But I know the track record the last 12 or 36 months have been bad. This particular prospect, future client, might say, what kind of bozo is this? Why would you recommend
this? Why are you buying all this garbage?
On the other hand, an advisor says, well, I really want to wow this potential client and puts together a portfolio with all five-star funds, great track record. You say, man, look how well this did the last 12 months. The fact is, might be the worst things to own going forward. You're sticking that advisor. That's where you're going to, you're making that advisor make the decision. Do I put the portfolio together that I actually think would be the in the client's best interest today, knowing that if the client does a bunch of research, the client might come back and say, I'm not interested. You're an idiot. Why would you recommend this? Or do I put together a portfolio that had a great track record? So when the potential client goes and does the research, goes on a morning
show, look at how brilliant this guy is.
Top quintile fund all over. Wow, it's fantastic.
So emerging markets.
Love this. This is great.
Emerging markets
would be one of those.
Yeah. And actually, emerging markets have a place in a portfolio, not a very big place in a portfolio, but they have a place.
Well, the reason that the reason the performance has been so bad in emerging markets, a couple things.
Currency.
Currency has been a huge factor. The dollar, we know what the dollar's done against the euro, right? So everyone knows that. But the dollar's done great against just about every currency. The Canadian loonie. For a while, I remember a couple of years ago that was more valuable than our U.S. dollar for a while. Now it's back to micro dollars again. But you look what's happened to the euro and whatnot. If you compare it to a lot of these emerging economies, their economies have really struggled because of the currency.
Oh yeah, I was in Ireland this month visiting
in August. When did you go to Ireland?
July.
This summer.
July.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing, talking to the locals. By the way, they speak English, but I didn't understand them.
You couldn't understand them?
A lot of them.
Really?
Yeah.
And you're Irish.
Well, that doesn't, we share a heritage, not the same.
You have a lot of the same values. That's all I know.
Yes. Hardworking. Diligent.
The family values.
Friendly.
Okay.
Loving, God-fearing. But it's only an hour show, so we don't have too much time to get into it. But that was the whole thing was the currencies. I mean, and what it has actually done to their economy.
Right. And so that's what's happened a lot with these emerging markets. So a lot of the return you see, the markets have done poorly because the currency relative to the dollar has done poorly. And they add on top of that, the economies, of course, have struggled and they haven't had the same kind of growth. And furthermore, if you look historically at emerging economies, not all emerging economies make it to a first world economy. A lot of them continue to stay in an emerging economy. So, by the way, have you been following this Puerto Rico?
Oh, this Puerto Rico and the bonds, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing how much money was lent to them.
And it may not be in the news that much yet. It will be.
Oh, they're going to default. They're going to default. And actually,
they've already missed some payments.
Look, I read a great article that said you could blame Puerto Rico all you want, but someone lent them the money. An op-ed piece. Look, you could point your finger at Puerto Rico all day long, but someone lent them the money. So if they don't get it paid back, you could yell at Puerto Rico, but who was the idiot that lent them the money?
Well, the challenge with Puerto Rico, it's not really that dissimilar from Greece in the fact that they're not a sovereign. They're quasi-U.S.
Yes.
I was at a conference with a guy who lived in Puerto Rico. And he was an obnoxious guy. Problem with being in the financial services industry when you go to some conferences.
Is the financial services industry, the people in it.
Oh, gosh.
And you go to quite a few conferences.
This guy,
you go to a lot more than I do.
He lived in Puerto Rico, and he wouldn't shut up about, first of all, how much money he was making. But he was talking about there's no income tax, federal income tax, apparently, in Puerto Rico. I don't know. This is what he was telling me. He wouldn't shut up. But
man, you are bitter.
Against him, yes.
Okay.
He was one of those obnoxious guys. You're at a conference and you're thinking, oh, please.
Were you sitting at a table with him? Could you not walk away?
I walked away. He chased me down. I just one of those guys I bumped into a couple times, and he like kept bringing up how great Puerto Rico
is. Okay, so anyway, but Scott, Puerto Rico is not that dissimilar than a lot of states in the United States.
But part of the challenge is they've got our same minimum wage rules.
Correct.
So they're not, it's not the same as our, any of our states, any of our even low-producing states. So they've got the same minimum wage rules, but they got
which makes them less competitive.
But they, their many of their workers are just not as productive. They're competing against some other territories that we are part of the United States do not have the same minimum wage. So they've got structural issues that they and they're not
they don't
not
have the ability and they do not have the ability to pay this money back. They don't have the ability.
There are some bond funds that had 30% of their portfolio in Puerto Rican bonds, 40% of their portfolio
because they were tax
in Puerto Rican bonds.
Tax-free munis.
Tax-free munis.
So these people that are seeking stability and tax-free by buying muni funds have put themselves at risk to these Puerto Rican bonds. And you know how you could tell? I could almost guarantee you could look at the returns of a portfolio and tell which ones own the Puerto Rican bonds. Because their yields actually lie out of the average by 10 basis points or 25 basis points, a quarter of a percent. And so what mutual fund managers were using them to juice the yields on their portfolios.
Yeah, these are typically lower yield, lower investment grade municipal bond funds. So you could have went out in the marketplace, and if you go and say, I want to find the highest yielding muni bond fund out there.
It's got Puerto Rican bonds in it.
And that's what we've seen was the case here.
Yep.
So some of these funds had over 40% of their portfolio in Puerto Rican municipals.
Yeah.
40%. I don't think anyone in their mind would say I'm going to put 40% of my investment in Puerto Rican bonds.
This is not front page, but it will be in the next 2 months.
It's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
They'll be talking bailing out Puerto Rico.
They will bail them out.
Yeah. Watch, the presidential candidates will start talking about it. Donald Trump will have something to say about it.
Really?
Oh, he'll call them all kinds of nasty words.
He really is. You know, he's a fascinating man. He is a fascinating man, but he's a fascinating. I read his, do you ever read any of his books?
No.
The Art of the Deal?
No.
I read them years ago.
It was a long time ago.
Long, long, long time ago.
Put your name on something. If it doesn't work out, file bankruptcy. If it works out, take all the credit. Anyway, we're taking a quick break. Hey, we have a couple lines open. If you want to join us, we got some good stuff we're going to be talking about. 1-888-2-HANSON is the number to join us. 1-888-2-HANSON. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue on. This is Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
Can't always catch Money Matters on the radio each week? Get a podcast of the show delivered to your device every week. Visit moneymatters.com.
You hear Scott Hanson and Pat McClain each weekend as they host Hanson McClain's Money Matters. And if you're not yet a client of Hanson McClain Advisors, you really ought to give them a shot. You see, the same type of straightforward financial advice that is provided during the show is what the clients of Hanson McClain Advisors receive on a regular basis. The approach of Hanson McClain Advisors is to first listen to you and then help come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Goals that range from retirement planning to debt elimination to income solutions. Hanson McClain Advisors is not simply a store that sells one type of product. No, Hanson McClain Advisors is an independent advisory firm that pick from a wide variety of financial products. They use investment tools from well-known brand names, in addition to financial products from lesser-known boutique shops, all with the objective to help you meet your financial goals. So if you have yet to see how the commission-free programs of Hanson McClain Advisors can benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit them at moneymatters.com.
Advice without an agenda. It's back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McClain, if you'd like to join the show, 916-921-1530. That's 916-921-1530. Or 888-2-HANSON.
And I got to tell you, maybe our show is boring this week. We started talking about life insurance. There are some weeks when our calls are... It's funny because we've been doing this program for 20 years.
Yes.
There are some weeks when our...
there's no way we could get to all the calls.
Yes.
If the show was 8 hours long, we wouldn't be able to get to them all.
It's always a busy signal. And then there's some weeks when the call's really slow, and
I always think he's really off his game.
Someone joined our firm recently last year, and they were asking, "So why? What?" I'm like, you know, after 20 years, we decided we can't figure out what weeks.
So if you'd like to join the show,
we do have call lines open.
916-921-1530.
And by the way. I could
sit and talk to you all day long. We don't talk that much.
There are also, a friend of mine listened to a couple, he says, you guys must not have had many calls because you guys kept talking about something else. I said, no, there are times when the calls are booked and we're just talking about other topics because
we find
the other topic interesting at the
because
time.
Because it's our radio show. We get to do what we want.
That's right. We have the mic and the buttons to push.
Yeah.
And I can, by the way, you look at all the buttons on the board. I never understood that stuff. You go in like a sound control room.
There's all kinds
of buttons. Kind
of
like a cockpit of an airliner.
I don't think they're the same thing, but I think that those buttons in the airliner are probably pretty important. That's my guess. My guess.
I don't think I could ever be an airline pilot.
Oh, I absolutely could not.
I don't have the patience.
No.
Mm-mm. And I just know myself too. I'll be in a rush.
Yeah.
Oh, that checklist is fine.
Yeah, that never. I wouldn't fly in a plane that you were the captain of ever.
You really?
Yeah. Ever. That is a promise.
All right. Well, I'll never be flying a plane, so we have
916-921-1530.
There this is the first I'd seen this, and I saw the story this week and I thought I'd bring it up. And the headline of the story was students sell stock in themselves. And it's this all student loan, right? So you're a college student.
Ah, oh,
you know where this is going.
Social funding thing is driving me crazy. I don't get it.
It's not
GoFundMe.
No. It's worse.
Okay, well then that's this whole GoFundMe thing. People, you invest in companies. People post them online, and it is. If you think you're going to get your money back, good luck to you.
This is actually an article in the Wall Street Journal. All right. And so these are nonprofits that set themselves up to give students, college students, money to get through college. And the repayment of the loan is dependent upon the success of that student.
But student loans aren't readily available?
Well, they're
so hard to get now.
It's impossible to get a federally
insured loan. Unbelievable.
No, but with these, they gave an example. There's actually a company out of Northern California, out of Sacramento, 13th Avenue Funding, that will lend students money, and the maximum payment, if their income is low, is 5% of their income. But if they have a high income, they end up paying much, much more back than they would have in a traditional loan. So it's essentially, as a student, you're saying, well,
I'm selling shares of myself.
Yes.
In my income.
That's exactly what they're doing.
With a cap on it.
There's obviously a cap. They're not going to take 30% of your income from it.
Forever.
That's indentured servitude. But I remember reading this thing and I thought, I don't know. And there's a few of these. Under the terms, they highlighted a young woman who borrowed $15,000. If her income's not high after when she graduates, she's only 5% of her income. But on the 15 grand she borrowed, she could end up paying back as much as $60,000 if things go really well for her.
Would you fund that? Would you put money into that? I keep seeing these things.
No.
What they call now social funding. Which is, we're going to cut the bank out, or we're going to cut the middleman out. Sometimes the middleman's a good guy to have.
You mean the one that does the underwriting and the creditworthiness and all that other stuff?
Yeah, the one that makes sure that it isn't just a complete scam. The one that actually assesses risk and tells you, hey, this might have some risk. Yeah. So these social funding, I see them on Facebook, where the guy comes out with a nice chest that's got a stereo in it. Revolutionary. Ice chest, stereo. And then they're looking for funding.
The stereo is built into the ice chest?
The stereo is built into the
ice chest. That's brilliant.
It is brilliant.
You don't need to carry the boom box along with it.
You have no idea what a household is carrying, both an ice chest and a stereo. A boom box. Do they still have boom boxes?
I don't know, but for Father's Day, my kids gave me I don't know what it's called. It's a little wireless speaker that for outside.
It looks like a pill. Looks like a big pill.
This one doesn't.
It's a Bluetooth.
Yes, I kind of like it.
Yeah.
So I could be out by my barbecue and I have my music there.
All right, old man. These things have been around for quite some time.
It's wireless. It's like magic. I don't know how it works.
They sell them at Costco, AMPMs, everywhere.
I'm just saying. You asked if there's boom boxes.
So anyway, this GoFundMe stuff. Just be careful.
All right.
Just be careful.
1-888-2-HANSEN. Let's take a call here. Let's talk to Jeff. Jeff, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi.
Hi, Jeff.
I'm going to roll in a few years. I'm going to be rolling the contents of my 401k into a traditional IRA. Can I do an annual conversion of a certain amount of money each year into a Roth IRA?
Yes.
And that's actually the way you'd want to do. Are you retiring in a few years? Why are you in a few years?
In a few years when I retire.
So why are you not making contributions to the Roth 401k now?
Well, I thought about doing that, but it would increase my taxable income.
So that's the question that needs to be asked, which is, what is my taxable income now, and what will my taxable income be in retirement? And then when you convert from an IRA to a Roth IRA, you have to do that calculation every year in order to not push yourself up into a higher marginal tax rate. So do you know what your taxable income will be in retirement?
Well, my pension would be probably around $50,000 a year.
Okay.
And will you be can I make now?
Will you be receiving Social Security?
Not at that point. No, I plan on working part time after I retire from the company I'm with.
Got it.
For additional income, and then probably tapping into some of the funds that I have until I do hit Social Security age.
And how much do you make now?
About $120,000.
All right. Yeah.
Okay.
So you're at the right strategy. Pre-tax right now, you're in a solid 25% tax bracket, taking the deduction. At retirement, you're thinking the right way. You really are. Because what you might find, Jeff, I mean, you're talking about doing part-time work, but let's say you have a year where you don't. You might choose to convert some to a Roth IRA. The way our tax structure works, they're very progressive. So if you have very low income, you're not going to pay any income taxes. If you're making millions, you'll be paying 39.6% federal tax, another 3.8% Obamacare tax on top of that, plus 13.3% in California. So you'll pay over half income tax with a lot of money. So and the way these tax brackets work, They're big jumps. It's not like we go from 0 to 39.6 by adding 1% as your income goes up. There'll be a tax bracket at 15%, which the majority of Americans are in a 15% or lower tax bracket. It jumps from 15 to 25%. So it doesn't mean once your income goes up that level, you pay 25% on everything. It means those next dollars are taxed at that 25% level. Then it goes 28%, bumps up from there. So the proper kind of planning, which you are thinking about, Jeff, which is wise, is on an annual basis. If you're in that position where you're in a 15% tax bracket and you've yet to bump up to the 25% tax bracket, which sounds like it's exact your situation in retirement, you might say, look, I can convert $12,000 from my IRA to a Roth IRA today, and I know I'm being taxed at 15%. It doesn't matter what you've read about articles or tax rates going up or they're going down. You know for yourself that this year you can lock in a tax at 15%, whereas you'll be at a 25% or higher in the future.
And that's exactly what you want to do, is you want to go through that exercise every year.
Yeah, and that's what my plan was, to see how far I am from the next tax bracket. Now it's how much I convert that year.
Correct. Absolutely.
Okay.
The right way to look at it. That is the right way to look at it, Jeff.
Thank you.
I appreciate the call.
Yeah. And it's, you know, there's talk of having a flat tax and.
Or VAT tax or value added tax.
The one challenge.
There won't ever be a flat tax. I'm going to say that right now. It is not palatable to the average American that they pay the same tax rate as the big wigs. In fact, The mere fact that CEO compensation needs to now be stated as
this last
the
week.
SEC.
SEC just pushed
took
this
years and years to this.
And here's what this is.
They just instituted the, so currently with executive compensation, companies, publicly traded companies, already need to disclose all the compensation they paid an executive. Salary, stock options,
deferred compensation,
private
use
jet
of the corporate
use.
Plane for private use, which actually
meals, whatever,
travel for the family, junkets, boondoggles, the whole bit,
all the boondoggles. So they already have to disclose that. What the SEC and it's the typical, just like there's you see this bipartisan. There's within the Senate, there's everything's Supreme Court, everything's 5-4. Think with the same thing in the SEC. It's 3-2. Through the three Democrats vote yes, the two Republicans. Almost everything is this way right now. It's really it's a bizarre time.
So
right.
What they so, have to do now is to state their income as a multiple of what the average income of their workers is.
Yeah. So,
so
how
if
much
the average worker makes $20 an hour and they make $200 an hour. Then they'd have to say they make the CEO makes 10 times what the average worker makes.
But with this, here's the one they don't have to foreign workers they don't that doesn't come into the same part of the compensation.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So this actually would encourage companies, if you're the CEO, it would actually encourage you to have more of your employees outside the United States, your lower paid workers outside the United States, your entry level jobs outside the United States.
I did not know that.
Yes, social engineering at its finest.
Huh.
Anyway, whether it's good or bad, I don't know. We're just stating it for what it is. So, hey, glad you've been with us. We are here every Saturday from 10 to 11 and out of KFBK and Saturday 4 to 5, KGO in the Bay Area. You can also go to our website, moneymatters.com. You can get a podcast of this program. You listen to clips from previous programs. If you haven't been to moneymatters.com, go check it out because we've got some great tools and stuff on there. I think you'll enjoy yourself. So thanks for being part of the program. We will see you next week. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Money Matters. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.